हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, Chaitanya Upanayanam. Then we have the songs of the Acharyas. So we're on page 16. Yeah, page 16. Bhagavatar Katha Se Shabha Avatar. Dhira haya shune jadi kane bharabhar. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submission and oral reception, then you will be able to understand your message. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:17-21. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as the irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Footnote 17. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit in the book Bhagavat. Right? That's why it says you're hearing that, receiving that message, and serving the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is going to then show you how to, he's going to remove any doubts, he's going to show you how to apply it, and then encourage us in that way. While the Bhagavatam will be saying these things, but we may or may not take it seriously, so those two go together. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavan or the book Bhagavan, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Naradeva. Naradeva, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality, Srila Naradeva. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The Brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot become a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a Brahmana, right? Because Brahmana means one who knows Brahman. So you have to be actually wanting to understand Brahman, actually understand the Lord. That makes one a Brahmana. Devotee is already a Brahmana by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a Brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a Brahmana. In the material stage, even a Brahmana is also a conditioned soul because although in the Brahminical stage, the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. Like we saw before when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about the levels of consciousness of the conditioned living entity. So then someone will have, he'll have some knowledge of the Supreme Lord, but he does render us no service, or he only sees that there's an impersonal feature of the Lord and, you know, again, renders no service. Or before that, they don't have a clear picture. They only add God in as much as it supports their particular moralistic concept. And other than that, then they're not interested. So we see in all of these, there's not a clear scientific understanding. So the devotee, they in that, that in blooming, consciousness or, I think it's, was it blooming? You had budding, then blooming consciousness.
Yes, Maharaj, blooming.
Blooming. Yeah. Then they start to, appreciate scientifically the knowledge of Krishna. So that's the whole point. We're not presenting some sentiment. It's not that the sentiment's not engaged, but it's not based on sentiment. The foundation of sentiment, this foundation is science. The science of Godhead, who he is and everything, and how that's revealed by the scriptures and by the great sages who have realized, you know, and the Lord himself. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated stage. Okay, Mahi. One has to surpass the Brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead, Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual mind. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living entities is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:11, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Right? So the darkness of the misgivings means that there's some particular attachment, there's some particular doubts that are there due to a particular material interest or material desire. And so then by Krishna's grace, those get removed because those are the big problems, not the doubt. The doubt, of course, can turn into a misgiving. So, but you're trying to clear the doubts, but it's by the Krishna's grace, the misgivings go away. So by serving the Lord, having that sincere mood to please the Lord, trying to follow in the footsteps of the Acharya, then Krishna within the heart, he removes all the misgivings. Then you really have, actually, you become materially purified. You're free from all material desire. Like that. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in the service and transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. Right? So about Krishna and about the material world and how that all functions and yes. And then how everything is related to Krishna. The devotee cannot, so all the relative truth, you know the absolute, you know Krishna, and then you know everything else, which is relative in its relationship with Krishna. Right? Means it has a position because of its relationship with Krishna. That's where the relative truth is, right? That's not relative. Means you do have the material where you leave Krishna out and they're relative to each other. And that's why there's misery. But you have the absolute platform where all truths have their position because of their relationship with the Lord, like that. So that's the absolute relativity. Then you actually have relative truths. These others are just, yeah, how the material world functions. The devotee cannot not remain in darkness. And because the devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge, coming down from the authority to the submissive aural receiver, who is bona fide by service and surrender. Right, so he's hearing that knowledge, and there's service and surrender. That combination is what makes it work. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit, of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of the illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, and from Brahma to his sons and disciples in succession. This process is helped by the Super Soul within such devotees. That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. So you're hearing from the spiritual master, you're hearing from authorities, you're applying that in service. And then we see is that descending knowledge is coming down that you have there. And then Krishna, him from within the heart, because of our surrender to Krishna, that combination then makes everything wonderful. Because Krishna from within the heart, unless you surrender to his devotee, then what's the meaning of surrender to him? Because you can't know him except in relationship to himself, right? You can't know him directly. You know him through the devotees, through the parampara. And so that's how we know Krishna. That's our relationship with Krishna. And then Krishna will personally deal with us like that. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges the living entity to become identified with matter. So where we have the misgivings, that's where we're identifying. Otherwise, if you don't identify, what do you care? Like if we're walking along and I say, oh, that's a piece of garbage, then you have no attachment for that. Then where's the discussion? There's no doubt. There's no misgiving. But let's say there's some item of your possession, and I look at it and go, oh, this is real trash, you know? Then you, what? What are you talking about? That's mine. I like that. You know, like, that's my favorite. You know, then because it's because of attachment. That's where misgivings come in. Misgivings are actually attachment. So when one gives up all material desire, means one's given up all misgivings. And so that happens by Krishna's grace. When we hear from Krishna, then Krishna from within the heart, then being pleased with our surrender and service, then he reveals himself. Then these other things, they go away. The more you know about Krishna, the less these other things have effect. Okay, this knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living entity to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees this master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruit of action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruit of work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes freed from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2, 17 and 21 purports. Okay, so that is the seems we only have one verb. Oh no, here they are. These are all the, no, we only had one verb. Okay. Just have that seem to have missed the other four. Rajas Tamohate. Excuse me. Okay, so we just had the shlokas in the translation. Okay, and so then now it's this is now the Bengali. Rajas Tamohate Tabe Paibe Nishtar Kridayer Abadra Sate Guchibe Tahar. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. Ki kore bujabo kata bare se chahi kudra ami dina hina kono shakti nahi. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? Right? Means those five verses like that, Prabhupada saying, how will I be able to convince them of these, you know, this message that's given in these verses? So these five verses, you can say, are a very essential point of the whole. It's about the Lord, his position, the jiva, that relationship with the Lord through the spiritual master, through the teachings, applying that in service, that surrender. Like that's the whole, how the whole process works. If that's there, then all other elements can be then revealed. But if that's not there, then there's going to be a problem. Right? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Atacha enecho prabhu kata bolibare, je tomara icha prabhu koro e bare. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. Right? So he's not saying just that success or failure as you like. It means without your mercy, it won't happen. So now you have brought me here to do this service. And so therefore, by your grace, then this service will be successful or not. Akila Jagata Guru Bachana Se Amar Alankri Koribar Kamata Tomar. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Footnote 18. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science, and therefore can react on the layman as medicinal doses, because it contains the transcendental activities of the Lord. There's no difference between the Lord and the literature. The literature is the factual literary incarnation of the Lord, so the layman can hear the narration of the activities of the Lord and thereby associate with him, and thus he will gradually become purified from the material disease. The expert devotees also can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such transcendental activity of the devotees for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his subsequent followers exhibited expert dexterity in this connection. By following the same method, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order for peaceful life and transcendental realization. Do we know where that's from? Seems Mr. Holidar is not here. Okay. So.
I don't know, Maharaj. He didn't say the source, so.
Okay, so maybe we should ask, and they should put it here. Because see, it's in line with that one before where Srila Prabhupada was talking in the Viraha Astika. He talked about that, you know, being able to go out and find ways to catch the conditions. So he's saying, Lord Chaitanya, he saw that he had, so many people had taken up Krishna consciousness, but some weren't, the Bhashandis and these, they weren't. So then finding ways to catch them. So novel meaning it's, you know, it works in that particular situation to catch those particular people. But catching them brings bringing them to pure devotional service. Catching them doesn't mean they maintain their false ego. In fact, that becomes their main identity for serving Krishna. That we have to avoid. So novel doesn't mean it's against the Vedic principles. Novel means that you find some very clever way to go and catch someone's attention. Does that make sense? You know, like that. Taba kripa haile mor kata shuda habe shuniya sabara shoka dukkha jay gutive. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. Footnote 19. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. The scriptures of the Lord means if you're absorbed in the material nature,
we can hear you, Marge.
We're back. Okay. Certification of this cause and manifest. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.4. Yeah, so this glorification coming down to those who are no longer enamored, give up that being enamored by the transcendental subject matter of the Lord. So that's why by association and Sri Krishna also being pleased is removing the misgivings go away, and then now you start to relish more and more. You can appreciate more and more. You know, like that, because otherwise there's so many things. If you want to become well established in the world, then you put in your effort into the world. But if you want to become well established in serving Krishna, then that's where you put your effort, and then it naturally develops. Ani yacho na chao na chao prabhu na chao se matao se mate. Okay. Oh Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have a Lord, maybe dance as you like. Right. So the point is that you brought me here. It's only by your grace. So then how you want me to behave, how you want me to do, what you want me to accomplish, how things unfold, then however you like it to happen, you make it happen because it's up to you. You will make it happen. And so then we're surrendered to that. And so then being surrendered to that, the Lord being pleased, now he can perform his pastimes as he sees best fit. And then things will develop nicely. I bheda nai name kubor bhaktivedanta nama e sartak koro. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. You can fulfill the real mind, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, on board the ship Jaladutta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965.
Marge, the sound's not very good.
Wow. This is cool. Okay. So, and here yet, what do we have? We're still on the 4G.
From 4G?
Yeah, it hasn't switched back to the Wi-Fi.
Okay. Okay, now I can hear you. So try and continue.
No, it's okay. Okay.
Yeah. You keep the video for a moment.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna say, you know, it's all right to leave it until it, you know, you're sure it's going on. So then we see here is that's that mood, that surrender, that dependence upon the Lord, knowing who the Lord is. But one is therefore prepared for service. That surrender means surrendered for service. You know, you serve the instruction of the spiritual master. You apply them in your life, and you're doing that to please Krishna. And so then Krishna will make things unfold as he likes, how he wants to see it go, how he wants to sell it. Then that's what we're doing. However he wants, that's what it will be. It's not that it will be somewhere else. We've decided on something. That's nice. We have a plan. We move forward with that plan. But we have to see is how is the Lord unfolding? And as the situation develops, then within that context, then the principle is to please Krishna. That has to be the foremost aspect that we're looking at. So then next we have the Panchatattva Mahamantra. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda. Purport to Panchatattva Mahamantra by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by His plenary expansions. Shri Nityananda Prabhu. Plenary expansion Shri Nityananda Prabhu. His incarnation Sri Advaita Prabhu, his internal potency, Sri Garadhar Prabhu, and his marginal potency, Srivas Prabhu. He is in the midst of them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by these other tattvas. Therefore, our basis to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are complete when we say Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinda. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avatara Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Krishna, who is non-different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So these are all his features. So he's non-different, but at the same time, as we saw before, being different, that's where then the identity is, and that's where then the devotees then have their the interaction of relationship with the Lord and with each other. As preachers of the Krishna conscious movement, we first offer our obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting this Panchatattva mantra. Then we say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but these are not considered in the chanting of the Panchatattva Mantra. Namely, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the Maha Varanya Avatara, the most magnanimous incarnation, for he does not consider the offenses of the fallen souls. Thus, to derive the full benefit of the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn the Panchatattva Mantra, and then chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. That will be very effective. Right, so this movement is Lord Chaitanya, so it's only by approaching him, then we can be successful. We don't approach him, then less successful. So now the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The transcendental vibration established by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the sublime method of reviving our consciousness as living spirit souls. We are all originally Krishna conscious entities, but due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by the material atmosphere, right? So being Tathasta, they can be absorbed in Krishna, or they can become selfish and turn away from Krishna. And now they'll become polluted by the material environment. The material atmosphere in which we are now living is called Maya, or illusion. Maya means that which is not. And what is this illusion? The illusion is that we are trying to be lords of material nature. Well, actually, we are under the grip of restringent laws. When a servant artificially tries to imitate the all-powerful master, this is called illusion. Note 21. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 21:17. Right? Because one's not supposed to be here. The material energy, that Shakti, is not inherent in the Jiva. Right? The Jiva is part of the spiritual energy, so it's not inherent there. We can see the Sarup Shakti. One of the divisions is the material energy. So because it's there in that as the cause, therefore, then it can be manifest as an effect of the material world. But it's not inherent in the Jiva. The Jiva is an extension of the internal potency. And so then that gives them their position. And in this polluted concept of life, we are all trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we are becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. Therefore, although you're engaged in a hard struggle to conquer nature, we are ever more dependent on her. This illusory struggle against material nature can be stopped at once by revival of our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original energy of the living entity. Footnote 22. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of all living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:107. When we hear the transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived, and this process is recommended for this age by authorities. By practical experience also, one can perceive that by chanting this Maha Mantra, or the great chanting for deliverance, one can at once feel a transcendental ecstasy coming through from the spiritual stratum. And when one is factually on the plane of spiritual understanding, surpassing the stages of senses, mind, and intelligence, one is situated on the transcendental plane. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is directly enacted from the spiritual platform. And thus, this sound vibration surpasses all lower strata of consciousness, namely sensual, mental, and intellectual. There is no need, therefore, to understand the language of the mantra, nor is there any need for mental speculation or any intellectual adjustment for chanting this Maha Mantra. It springs automatically from the spiritual platform. And as such, anyone can take part in the chanting without any previous qualification, and dance in ecstasy. It is, yeah. We have seen this practically. Even a child can take part in the chanting, or even a dog can take part in it. Of course, for one who is too entangled in material life, it takes a little more time to come to the standard point. But even such a materially engrossed man is raised to the spiritual platform very quickly. When the mantra is chanted by a pure devotee of the Lord in love, it has the greatest efficacy on the hearers. And as such, this chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord so that the immediate effects can be achieved. As far as possible, chanting from the lips of non-devotees should be avoided. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. footnote 23. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami has forbidden that, quote, don't hear anything about Krishna from a person who is not a Vaishnava, end quote. A Vaishnava mukod girna puta hari katamritam shravanam nakarta. This is prohibited. You cannot hear. But this audience or the students, they also do not know that here is a rascal. He is not a devotee. He is not a Vaishnava. Why should we hear from him Bhagavad Gita? The first condition is bhakto si, and the prohibition is also by a choice. A Vaishnava mukod girna puta hari katamritam shravanam na kartavyam. Puta hari katamritam. Harikatha talks of Krishna. They are by themselves pure, but still it is prohibited that if it is spoken by Avaishnava, non-devotee, one should not hear, must immediately reject. First of all, we have to see who is going to speak about Krishna. Is it a devotee of Krishna? Is he a Vaishnava or not? If he is not, then immediately reject. Oh, we are not going to hear from you. Lecture on Bhagavad Gita, 144, July 31st, 1973, Monday. Yeah, so then Prabhupada is very nicely here bringing out, it's just this whole point about that the living entities are, means the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantras for the purpose of reviving the transcendental consciousness. And so then we have come into, and being in transcendental consciousness is the inherent nature of the jiva. In other words, being Krishna conscious, that prema, as we saw, is an inherent nature in the jiva. It may not be manifest, but then when it manifests, it's actually coming from, by the Lord's grace, from the jiva. So it's not that it's not within the soul, but material energy, there is nothing within the soul. So it's not that it's part of the soul, and so therefore, it's what's wrong with being in the material nature. If we're tatasta, then we're in between the two. But we're in between the two, but we're actually part of the internal potency. Just like the water on the land there, the beach, like that. It's the water. We're the water part, not the land part. You know. So that's the point. It's where the water is on the land. We'll say it's land, but it's water on the land. Right. The word hara. So then Prabhupada brings it then through that. Then you can at once appreciate the effects, even if one doesn't understand it, because it's coming from the transcendental platform. It's not coming from any mundane platform. It's not just some ritual or things like that. The word hara is the form of addressing the energy of the Lord. And the words Krishna and Rama are forms of addressing the Lord himself. Both Krishna and Rama mean the supreme pleasure. And hara is the supreme pleasure energy of the Lord, changed to hare in the vocative. The supreme pleasure energy of the Lord helps us to reach the Lord. The material energy called maya is also one of the multi-energies of the Lord, footnote 24. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. And we, the living entities, are also the energy, marginal energy of the Lord. The living entities are described as superior to material energy. Footnote 25. Besides these, O mighty Yamdarjuna, there is another superior energy of mind, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Bhagavad Gita 7.5. When the superior energy is in contact with the inferior energy, an incompatible situation arises. But when the superior marginal energy is in contact with the superior energy, called hara, the living entity is established in his happy, normal condition. Footnote 26. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of God, original and inexhaustible. Bhagavad Gita 9.13. Right. Yeah, so when we're in contact with the internal potency, that's when we're actually happy. That's normal. When we're not, we're absorbed in the material energy, then we're dealing with something foreign that actually we don't have anything in common with, right? Because unless there's a commonality, how can you be friends? So there's a difference, but there's no commonality, right? But with Krishna and his internal potency, therefore there is a commonality and the difference. And so therefore, with that spiritual identity, then we're able to serve Krishna. But on the material platform, there is no common basis. So you actually cannot become friendly with the material energy. These three worlds, namely Hare, three words, namely Hare, Krishna, and Rama, are the transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his internal energy, Hara, to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Mother Hara helps the devotee achieve the grace of the Supreme Father, Hari, or Krishna, and the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants this mantra sincerely. Footnote 27. Whereas the material nature is conducted by external potency, Maya, the spiritual world is conducted by the internal potency, Radharani. We often pray to Radharani because she is the pleasure potency of Krishna. The very word Krishna means all attractive. But Radharani is so great that she attracts Krishna. If Krishna is always attractive to everyone, and Radharani is attractive to Krishna, how can we imagine the position of Srimati Radharani? We should try humbly to understand and offer her our obeisances, saying, Radharani, you are so dear to Krishna. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are Krishna's beloved. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Radharani is very dear to Krishna, and if we approach Krishna through the mercy of Radharani, we can easily attain him. If Radharani recommends a devotee, Krishna immediately accepts him, however foolish he may be. Consequently, in Vrindavan, we find that the devotees chant Radharani's name more often than Krishna's. Wherever we go in India, we will find devotees calling Jai Radhe. We should be more interested in worshiping Radhe, for however fallen we may be, if somewhere or other we can please her, we can very easily understand Krishna. If we try to understand Krishna by the speculative process, we'll have to spend many lifetimes of speculation. But if we take to devotional service and just try to please Radharani, then Krishna can be very easily realized. Radharani is such a great devotee that she can deliver Krishna, elevation to Krishna consciousness. Yes, because she attracts means the idea is that Krishna is already tasting rasa, encompassing everything. So therefore, then, if you're going to interact with Krishna, one has to be able to attract Krishna, because he being everything, what's going to attract him? But when things are done in devotion, then that attracts his mind. So the point is we being infinitesimal, we're attracted by Krishna, but Krishna is attracted by Radharani. So therefore, if we serve Radharani, then we're able to assist in that Krishna's being attracted. And in that devotional environment, then we can render service. So that's how then we're trying to get her mercy to get Krishna's mercy. But the point is we'll always be in that position of her servant. And so it's not that aspect goes away. Because she's the one who attracts Krishna. So therefore, we're not the one to attract Krishna. But if we serve under Radharani in the parampara, then we are able to attract Krishna. Then the rasa comes to a very nice position. No other means of spiritual realization, therefore, is as effective in this age as chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Footnote 28. In this age of Kali, there is no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 17:21. Yeah. Like that. So this is the most effective, because you're trying to, if you want to realize the Lord, if we just try to through our speculation and other aspects, our own power, then it's going to be limited. That we're using that power to try to understand the Lord will be, you know, one will make advancement. But when the person who's attracting Krishna, we are getting their blessings and we're coming in as their servants, that attracts Krishna's attention, because now you have pastime. Because the other one, you're simply appreciating him as the Supreme Absolute, the greatest personality, you know, the Lord of all, the master of all, the controller of all, the source of all energies, and like this, shelter of everything, like this. These aspects, we are seeing Krishna, but that's just who he is. That's his identity. Now, when all those energies, when they, in that aspect of appreciating their position, then they have that identity as servant of the Lord, then they as an individual and their rasa can interact with Krishna and his identity, then you get wonderful rasa. So that's accomplished through Radharani. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most powerful. There's no other mantra that will do this properly. So one may say is, but oh, the Panchatattva Maha Mantra is more powerful, but that's more powerful in the context of purifying us. But the point is that it's the Maha Mantra that Lord Chaitanya has given us to chant. So why would we chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra when we, you know, being the age, this age is Lord Chaitanya's mission, the Lord has given the Panchatattva. So therefore, I mean, the Hare Krishna. So we chant the Panchatattva in that by chanting that, then we're able to properly approach the Maha Mantra. That's the idea. But not that we separately chant, because sometimes it comes up, you know, some devotees, they want to chant rounds of Panchatattva Maha Mantra. But no, you one chants Hare Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya wants. But to approach, then yes, then we chant, you know, three times, and then we're able to chant. But, we're all good. People are still here, or? Yes, no?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, very good. Okay, so now Amar Jivan, my life, from Sharanagati. Amarta Jivan, Sada Pape, Rata, Na Hiko, Punyera Lesha, Parere, Udvega, Diachi, Ye Koto, Diachi, Jivera Klesha. My life is always engaged in sinful activities without a trace of pious activities. I am always inclined to give anxiety and trouble to other living entities. Right, so sinful activities, then the Bhagavatam is defining as anything not connected with Krishna, that's sinful. Right? Because it's self-centered, then that's what actually makes it sinful, because sinful means what's not to be done. Pious is what's to be done. So to do activities not connected with the Lord, not in the context of pleasing the Lord, that is sinful. Right? So, yeah. And so therefore, not a trace of pious activities. I'm not doing anything, you know, remembering Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. I'm always inclined to give anxiety and trouble to other living entities, because you're going to give that trouble because you're seeing them, how can they please yourself? So you'll only see them in that context of how they are being engaged that way. So that means you want something from that. So that's going to give anxiety and trouble to others. Nija shuka lagi pape nahi dori dayahina svarta paro para shuka duki sada mitya bhashi para duka shuka karo. For my personal sense gratification, I never reject any kind of sinful activity. I am not at all merciful, and I see only to my personal interests. When others are suffering, I become very happy, right? Because their suffering means there's more for me, right? Means their suffering, you know, they deserve to, because they're, you know, competition, or this one bothers me. So if they're suffering, then that's what they deserve. You know, that's the difficulty that comes up. I am always speaking lies. And if someone is suffering, that is very pleasant to me. Right, so instead of seeing is that the living entity is suffering due to their forgetfulness of Krishna because of that. And the suffering means you're doing something that's improper. So naturally, you're going to suffer. So the solution is then to be engaged in Krishna's service. But we think, no, the suffering, that's what's going to purify. That's what's going to correct the situation. They suffer, that's what's going to actually make everything all right. But no, it's only Krishna consciousness. Well, there isn't anything else. So that means this idea that someone else suffering and being punished, that's a good thing, but that means it's on the material platform because it's actually a reaction to my mundane. Because otherwise, if you have compassion, it doesn't matter. You know, the kid's playing, he's being a nonsense, but then he falls over and hurts himself. You have compassion. You don't sit there and go, yeah, that's what you deserve. Okay, yeah, go ahead and cry. Yeah, yeah. That's not appropriate. Asesha kamana hridi majhe mora kroji dhampa parayana madha mata sada vishaye mohita himsa garva vibhushana. I have lots of material desires within my heart and I'm always angry and deceitful. I am captivated by subject matters of sense gratification and am almost crazy. My ornaments are malice and false pride. Because we saw before is that when we say Radharani has so many ornaments, you know, I think it's 20 ornaments and that, these means it's her qualities. But these manifest as particular things, or earrings, or this, or that. So each one's her love for Krishna is like this, or attraction, her shyness is like this, and all these different things. So he's saying my ornaments are malice and false pride. So these are the qualities that I ornament myself with. And so then accordingly, you'll see, you know, in the external, how they dress and how they behave, then you'll see is that this will be the nature.
Maharaj?
Yes.
It seems that it is a description of Jagai and Madai.
Jagai and Madai are just the epitome of the living entity who is turned away from Krishna, you know, especially in the Kali Yuga. So like that, yes, you can say they're the acharyas in mundane consciousness. So that it sounds similar to them, then it's not a strange, you know, if one follows in the footsteps, then that's naturally the way it'll be. Does that make sense?
Yes, so much. So Shabbatul Thakur, it just. Because I think when he wrote this song, it's not for poetry. It is for he's presenting his own. We can say feeling. No.
Yes. Yes. So the point is the acharyas feel like this because. And here says I'm engaged in sinful activities. That the point is this, as we mentioned, the 11th canto describes sinful as not connected to Krishna. So they always say, I'm not Krishna conscious. I'm not doing everything for Krishna like that. So that's how they'll do it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're breaking the four regulative principles. It yes. just means that they're like this. But the point is it applies for all of us because we may be breaking these regular, you know, that means the living entity is there. He's absorbed in material life. He's not following any of these regulator principles. And then he comes in contact with the devotees and then they tell him about Krishna and the service. And then he thinks like this, right? So the point is you have all these different levels that are there, situations that can explain that particular point. So it can be applied at all levels. That's the wonderfulness about the Vaishnava philosophy and the culture. You can apply it at all the different levels. It still works. It's a principle, therefore it applies. You know, so therefore, and here is that it's not being done, not doing anything for Krishna. right? So then we may say, well, I'm always doing something for Krishna. But at the same time, as then we're doing something for Krishna, our mind's somewhere else. So then for Acharya like this, then they'll think it's not about Krishna. And then someone's always remembering Krishna, but then it's not, has that intensity. So I don't really love Krishna. You know, Lord Chaitanya made the point is, if I really love Krishna, why would I still be in this body? Why haven't I left this body? I'm just staying in this body because I enjoy eating and sleeping. So that's why. You know, so you can take it further and further up to the level of Mahabhava. So then they'll also feel that they're not properly engaged or not doing things fully to please or like this. So it goes from Jagai Madhai at one end, you know, up to the Brahmar Geet at the other end. So that's the wonderfulness of these prayers, is that no matter what position you're in, then one can always take advantage of these position. You like the Goswamis, you know, only sleeping, you know, an hour and a half a day, might consider, you know, this next one. I am conquered by sleep and laziness, and I'm always averse to pious activities. But, you know, they're eating so little or sleeping so little. But I am very enthusiastic to perform impious activities. I always cheat others for my prestige. I am conquered by greed, and I am always lusty, right? Nidra lasahata sukarye virata akarye udyogi ami patishta lagiya satya acharana lobahata sadakami eheno durajana sajjana varjita aparadhi nirantara shubakarya shunya sada narta mana Nana Duke Jara Jar. I am so fallen. I have no association with devotees, and I am always an offender. In my life, there is not a bit of auspicious activity, and my mind is always attracted by something mischievous. Therefore, at the fag end of my life, I have become almost an invalid because of all sufferings. Right? Because so many sufferings are there and all this, and therefore the end of life, then the you know, the ravages of that then are there, you know. Bhardhakye ekona upaya vihina tate dina akinchana bhakti vinoda prabhura charane kore dukha nivedana. Now in my old age, with no alternative, I have, by force, become very humble and meek. Thus, Bhaktivinoda offers the sad statement of his life's activities at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So you say, in my old age, there's no alternative. Like, what else are you going to do? You know, so I, by force, by become humble and meek. Because when he's young, that he's very enthusiastic and very proud and very thinks he can do anything and everything. But now, in the older age, he becomes humble and meek. And therefore, now he's presenting this, you know, this sad position of his life to the Lord, and then in this way surrendering. Okay, purport to Amar Jivan by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Amar Jivan Sadapape Rata Nahiko Punyera Lesha. This is a song sung by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Vaishnava humbleness. Vaishnava is always meek and humble. So he is describing the life of the people in general, taking himself to be one of them. He says that my life is always engaged in sinful activities. And if you try to find out, you will not find even a trace of pious activities, only sinful activities. And parere udvega diache jekoto diache jivera klesha. I am always inclined to give trouble to other living entities. That is my business. I want to see that others are suffering, and then I enjoy. Right? That's why you also see in the Vedic system is because you're not supposed to enjoy if others are suffering. You're supposed to help. You're supposed to try to create an environment, you know, help someone reduce their suffering. So therefore, in the Vedic system, prosperity means everybody prospers, right? And so, and everybody prospers by doing their position. The farmer farms, by farming, then you get grains. Those then are traded in the market. And then, you know, you make, somebody makes some profit off of that. People get all the things that they require. And so the more bountiful things are, the more everybody gets the benefit. And so then there's no such thing as shortage. The more stuff is there, the more facility is there for everybody. And yes, some people will be more rich and more powerful, but that's fine. But still, everybody else has. But in the modern context, because you have the aspect of wanting to see others suffer, and that makes you happy. Therefore, then we see the principle that the economics in the modern age is based on shortage. And so whoever can get a hold of that, then they get the thing. You make it a shortage, then when people want it, they have to pay a premium. So it's, even though there's plenty available, it won't come to market because it'll lower the prices. Instead of allowing that everybody gets everything very cheap, and has all facility, and I still make some profit. No, I will keep less and make more profit off of, you know, less people. I'll make more profit off of less people rather than make, you know, profit by volume off of everybody. And so we see is because of this, there's suffering in the world. And that makes those who, you know, see themselves at that position not suffering and makes them happy. So we see it's, you know, this is the modern society. This is modern, the corporate world. And so, you know, the whole business, everybody does this. And so we see the corporate world does that also. Right. So it's not a cooperation in any of these things. It's just, no, it's this or it's that. And so then they have to establish themselves at the expense of everybody else. That's then how material life works. So in the Vedic culture, it's trying to control that. It'll still be there, but you're trying to control it by giving balancing elements that are there. The Vaishya can get everything, but he has to give charity, he has to pay his taxes, take care of his workers. And so then, in that way, it kind of helps balance it. You know, the greed is there, but he makes so much, but then so much goes out in taxes and charity. And so then it balances. But in the modern, they don't necessarily try to remove all these restrictions. So there is no balance. And then each one wants everything to be about them. You know, the Shudras think, you know, we're just dissatisfied, you know, with the Vaishyas. We'll burn down everything and then we'll get more money. Right? If you burn down the factory, how are you going to get more money? But, you know, they're just happy to see him suffer when they're burning it down. They don't think of far enough ahead that tomorrow when they go to work, there is no place to work and that you can't make money, so they won't get paid. But what to do? The material world, it means the materialists are foolish. Okay, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki, Jai.